Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of.
Who's got the pad? There we go. Check one, two, three. Check, check, check.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Oh, bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before
him,
for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. What a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. cross. Tell the whole world. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. Thank you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me. None beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Good morning. There it is. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. My name is Jason Sheeler. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor at Hope on the Beach Church, and we're delighted you're here with us today on a gorgeous morning and a special day to come out and worship God. If you're watching us online, connecting with us, it's great to have you here with us. Love to see you. So make comments in the post. I'd like to connect with you too. Here, we really believe that you're a gift from God and God has brought you here. We're going to be able to recognize that gift. So in your worship folder, there's a connection card. It looks like this. If you'd be so kind to fill out the front, love to be able to recognize you. Kind of a way of saying welcome. Glad you're here. And your presence matters to us. And God has something here for you. And as we fill this out, we're just kind of like, hey, we're here, and we're going to just pursue God in this moment. We happen to be in a series that we just started last week in Genesis. We had picked certain chapters a couple months ago of this faith and family kind of series. And it's interesting how God puts it together to what's going on in our world today. As our world, at least we can definitely say in America, but I would also say around the world, there is a time of mourning that's happening, a time of grief with the assassination with Charlie Kirk. And I was reading through Acts, and as you go through Acts, it's after Jesus has the resurrection with the disciples, and he's with the disciples, he's been doing some extra teaching, and then Jesus ascends. And as he ascends, the disciples are just standing there looking up. And maybe the part of it, we were like, oh, I bet you they were amazed. And I'm thinking, I don't think they were amazed. They've seen Jesus do a lot of amazing things, and Scripture often says they're amazed. They're not amazed. They're just standing there staring up. And they're kind of like just stuck. They're not moving, not going anywhere. And I think the reason that they're just standing there was not because it was so spectacular. I mean, Jesus rose from the dead. That was pretty spectacular. But I think they're stuck because they're in grief. Because now he truly is going away. And they're grieving the shock that this guy that they've been with for 3 years, and now that they fully kind of understand it of who he really is, and all the experiences, and now the feeling of maybe disappointments and loss. And I think they're in a moment where, like, I don't know how to handle any more change right now. I don't know how to even move forward. And they're probably their remnants of the love they experience, all the good times, and they're just wanting the world to just stop, to pause, and just process all that's happened. And it's going on. I mean, that's part of life, isn't it? I mean, things happen and it's just can be overwhelming. We just get like I call stuck in the muck. And we just stand there. And in this kind of moment of grief and disappointment, and also at sometimes joy and just feeling love, but yet we're stuck because we're trying to process all that we lost. And disciples had this word of God that said, like, what are you doing? Get going. Get doing what the Lord had commanded. And it moved them from being stuck. And what do we see happening in Acts? Man, the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And there was this awakening and made a movement that it was even greater than a movement before of God. And the Lord added thousands upon thousands to his kingdom, and the gospel was spread throughout the world as it was known in that day. And while today many are standing, still looking, God is awakening hearts to Jesus today. That's what he's doing. Like never before, there's another great awakening that's happening in our midst, that's ripping on where the gospel is being preached, and the Holy Spirit is drawing people to Jesus. And we see that. We see it in this little bit like Turning Point USA goes from after his death into like 60,000 inquiries in like 48 hours for new chapters and new campuses. This is the God we worship. We love, we serve, even in death. Because he is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He is alive and at work building his kingdom for his glory. Evil, sin, and death have no power over those in Christ Jesus. Our God is greater and able to, to take what is bad and meant for evil and turn it out to good and good for others and to bless others and to bring kingdom. So there is hope even in the midst of our grief. There's hope in the midst of where we are stuck. There is a greater day ahead of us because of Christ. And it's not just wishful thoughts. It's not just all comfy, cozy Christianese. It is a truth of the church that death is not final. There is no sting. In fact, for us, it leads to life and life everlasting, where Charlie is and where the hope the world will go. That's why God did what he did. And his grace is here for you. His grace is here to comfort you and strengthen you in him. So we make our beginning in the name of Jesus, the name that saves. Amen. Let us rise and let's begin our worship together of the Waymaker, Miracle Worker. Yeah, I can see.
We believe that he's making a way for us right now. He's here with us. You are here, moving in our midst. We worship you, we worship you. You are here, working in this place. We worship you, we worship you. You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you, Lord. You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It It's your breath in our love. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our love. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Let's sing that again. Lift it up to our Heavenly Father. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. We love you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for being with us here today. We open our hearts to you, our minds, our ears. We lay all of it at the foot of the cross. Come and heal our broken hearts. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's greater than everything. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. This is our proclamation this morning. Come on. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our love. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Can you you turn on Pastor's mic, please?
Lord. Lord, you're great. And we pray as we breathe, we feel this breeze. Lord, as your spirit would just fill us today. That it would enliven our hearts to you. That this is not just a worship service, it's a meeting with you. And they have ears to hear your word that you're speaking to us and a heart to receive. We pray in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning and welcome. And again, if you join online, if you want to get the bulletin, it's right there at hopeofthebeach.com. If you scroll down, you can open up and follow along with us as we continue in a series of faith and family in Genesis today. Talk about a waymaker. I got a little question for you as we begin. And you can raise your hands. Have you ever had a surprise knock at the door? How many have had a surprise knock at their front door, especially before ring days? Okay, this has got to go a little bit pre-ring. Here's the question. Did you hide or did you answer? I mean, how many people hid? Like, oh, we're not here. We're not here. We're hiding, right? We saw that Jehovah's Witness. We're not going there. Let's just say it. Come on, be honest. All right, or it's a sales guy. Like, just go away, man. Don't see us. I mean, our neighborhood, they added fiber to it, and now it's like this company feels like they have permission to be soliciting, knocking on the door all the time and coming by door hangers and stuff. And, like, I came home Thursday night tired, and here they are, like, trolling the neighborhood in the car, just waiting for it. They didn't even wait. They're, like, catching you before you go in so you can't hide now. I mean, it's just like, because reality, there are visitors. And there are guests, right? A visitor is someone who shows up at your door and you don't want. And so you will avoid it. You will try to, like, minimize it. You won't invite them in. They're inconvenience. They're a bother. And you're just like, move on. But a guest who comes to your door, man, you warmly welcome. You've actually been preparing for that guest most of the time. Even if they surprise you, if they're a guest, you stop everything. They're the most important thing, and you bring hospitality, and you care, and you serve them. You welcome them in your home and to your lives, and you enjoy their presence and the time together. The story we're talking about today is a welcome guest with unbelievable news. So we're going to read through it. It's chapter 18 in Genesis, and just give you a little context. We started off in chapter 12 last week with God's call to Abram. And we realized, man, Abram, who didn't really have this foreknowledge of all of God, yet he hears this call and he leaves everything to follow God. He goes way out of his comfort zone, trusting in the Lord's word and his promises, and to go and be a great nation and have multiple descendants. And then we see, and he has this little thing that he brings his nephew Lot. Why? We don't know, but here we go. Chapter 13. I call it a lot problems. That's what it is. And then 14, there's this victory that Abraham has. He's been conquering land and riches and wealth. And he goes to the king and says, look, this is all going to be your. I'm returning all this. Because I don't want you to say you built this. This is God's work. And then 15, Abraham's reminded of his covenant, the stars in the sky, as many of your descendants. I mean, God is reminding him. He's showing up to him, telling him. In fact, chapter 16, it's not Sarah yet, it's Sarai. Sarai and Abram, although they've been reminded, take matters into their own hands. Because they're not having descendants. It's not happening on their timeline. It's not happening their way. And they figure out a way. And so Abram sleeps with Sarai's maidservant, Hagar, and she gets pregnant. Sarai gets very jealous of this and treats her harshly. She runs away, and then the Lord appears to her. And then, in chapter 17, the names are changed to Abraham, from Abraham to Sarai to Sarah. And God makes a covenant again and guarantees it as many descendants and for them to dwell in the land of Canaan. And there's a sign of the covenant that's given, it's circumcision. And so Abram does his whole household. That was a great day. Come on, be honest. Come on, really, Dad? You know, I don't care if you're the boss or not. This is a little far. And now we're at chapter 18. So here we go. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Three men, just because that's maybe going to be not maybe a stumbling block, it's Jesus with angels. And he said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abram went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three shehals of fine flour kneaded to make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf and tender and good and gave it to the young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and of the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? He said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in years, like 89, 90, 90 to 100. And the way a woman had ceased to be was Sarah. So Sarah laughed at herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you, and about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them and set them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Soon Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations on the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is grave, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. And here's a simple observation. Number one is this, that the Lord comes to you personally. The Lord appeared to Abraham. He appeared to him. He came to him in a very personal, relational way. It wasn't shouts from heaven, but he comes to him on his way. And Abraham sees the guest, and he just welcomes, he responds to that. He's like, he's great, he hears, he appeared to him. And I think Scripture, we see it several times, I kind of mentioned leading up to it, that the Lord appears to Abraham, and I think he probably appeared to him many more times. They just weren't essential appearances to the salvation story. We don't get every detail, but it doesn't go into the salvation. So the Lord has appeared, and he appears to him not because Abraham is such a great man of faith. I mean, he sins. We just went over how he sins. He falls short. I mean, after being reminded of the promise of God and seeing God work in his life and give him favor, give him authority, give him power to take land, to have things and things happen that have never happened in his life before, what do we see? He still doubts. To the point he takes matters into his own hands. And him and Sarah can have their own little plan, and they try to have their own child and try to force the blessing and the way of God in their life. And Hagar is treated harshly unfairly. And literally just kind of runs for her life. And the Lord appears to her. And I love what she says. She says in Genesis 16, 13, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly here I've seen him who looks after me." God is personal. God is about a relationship. And he cares for you. He cares for what you're experiencing and feeling. He sees it all. And he loves you. One of my favorite verses has come to be from the Apostle Paul. And you got to think, Apostle Paul, there's an extra weight to him just because he was the chief of all sinners. He was persecuting the church. And here he writes, he says, you know, the God of all comfort and the God of all mercies, he cares about you. He comes to you. Do you see him? Do you hear him? Do you see the God who has come personally to you and has done that through his Son, Jesus Christ? The God who wants to appear and wants to be known, who reveals himself. I mean, Jesus says, look, if you see me, you've seen the Father, because I not only do what the Father has told me to do, I bear his image and share that with you so you may know the Father. You may have a relationship with the Father. And Jesus goes even farther, not by showing it, but then taking on our sin that separates us and put it upon himself. And that consequences and that punishment for our sins, he took and went to hell and rose so you and I could be in the presence of a holy God now and forever. And that God is still appearing to us, certainly in his living word that he's given us, that we may be known. He comes to speak to us, to minister to us in his supper. Says, this is my body given and shed for you. That you is personal. Why, it's a unity, the body of Christ gathered together in Christ. We are receiving it personally. He comes to minister right where you're at your need. Do you see him? Do you hear him? He's a personal God. And he even used life events to get our attention, because he longs for our affection and devotion. And there is a divine appearing, a divine appointment in Abraham's life in this moment that's recorded. And I believe kind of today, because of this assassination, there's a divine appointment in everybody's life. God is here. And he is appearing. And for some people, he's a guest. And for some, he's a visitor. What is it for you? What is it? Number two is really how you respond to that divine visitation when the Lord appears. How are you responding? And what's interesting in this text, there's actually three different responses that are there. The first response, A, Abraham recognizes the Lord and urgently serves him with a willing heart. Like, he saw them. He ran from the tent door to meet them. I mean, he didn't wait for them to come. He went after them. He's like, don't pass. Be my guest. I want you here in my life. I want you to have influence in me. I want to dwell with you. Abraham quickly then goes to the tent and says, look, quick. It's urgent. Make some cakes. And then what he does, this is like a 99-year-old man running around. Now, I guarantee he's a little better health than us, but come on. He is running around. He's the leader of his household. He's the one running. And he's running out and he quickly prepares the calf. Jesus said in John 9, we must work the works of him, the works of God, who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. There is an urgency to the gospel. There is an urgency to respond to this message. We don't know how much time we have. We can't assume. Because there will be a day when the Lord appears. And when he appears, it's over. Abraham understood this urgency and the specialness to this appearance. And he didn't want to miss it. So I think many of you have had the Lord appear to you. Many of you have been called into a relationship and you have a relationship with him, but he's called you, he's nudged you, he's inspired you. You've heard him in his reflections, calling you to something greater than just following the things of this world, calling you to this greater mission in your life. And probably at times you said, you know what? I should probably do something about that. I want to do that maybe. Yeah, I'll get to that, God, when there's time. But first I need to do this. First I need to take care of this. Oh, when I get my whole family together, when the kids leave, then I'll be freer to do that. Or when I retire, I'll give you more time. And we have delayed and delayed, and that's put it nicely because some have just quietly dismissed it and forgot it. We'll do it when things slow down and the calling just passes you by. Abraham's like, don't pass me by, Lord. I don't want to miss you. You're the most important thing there is. He stopped everything with urgency to dwell with the Lord and says, look, I'm your servant. You come to me. And it's like, what's your will? What's your will? He didn't say, look, God, hey, I did all this service for you, now bless me. No, his heart was humble. What is your will, God? I mean, what if Charlie Kurt said, you know, I'm young. I know I got this calling. I know that God wants me to do this, but I got other things I could do. I could have more fun. I could wait. I could build my family. I could finish my degree. I could get myself established. Then I could take this serious. This day would be totally different, wouldn't it? So when the Lord appears and the Lord calls, what do? How do you respond when you're in the Lord's presence and he appears to you? Are you a servant? It says, whatever your will is, Lord. Or is your faith a spare tire? Like when a car breaks down, I'm going to pull you out. But in that, you're in the trunk and I'm driving this car. Abram says, no, you drive the car, God. I'm going for the ride. Or perhaps maybe you're more like Sarah. Sarah's heart lacks trust in God. Sarah hears the news in the tent and she laughs. It's a laugh of disbelief. Now, as an observer outside, you can kind of get it. When you're 89 years old and you're going to be a parent at 90, that just sounds wrong right now. I mean, come on. This is the golden years. This is what we want to hear. This is our freedom. We should have grandkids at this time, not raising kids. We're just here to have fun and spoil them, then send them back. That's what it is. But I also want us to be fair. I think this is so overlooked. In Genesis 17:17, Abraham is told that Sarah is going to have a child. And what Abraham does, a son, and Abraham even laughs at the thought. He doubts. And then after that, you have the whole episode with Ishmael, so they take things in their own hand. And so what you can conclude is Abraham is actually worse than Sarah in the situation. Because he knew before he had the same spot of doubt. He took matters in his own hands, tried to make it his own way. Like, hey, he goes to God, hey, why don't you just use Ishmael? We got him, bless him, and we'll go on. And the Lord says, no, you're going to have a son. And then what do we see? Women, this should be no surprise. Abraham does not tell his wife Sarah about the boy. If he would have told her, she might not have laughed. It might have been a second time. So he does not communicate. There's a problem with men throughout all history, ladies. Just embrace it. It is what it is. But if you dig in the Hebrew translation, when she says, my womb is gone, it's done, it is Hebrew better would be say it's dead. It has decayed to death. There is no life. This is impossible. And we would say with man, yes, it's totally impossible. But notice the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the word Lord there is Yahweh. And Yahweh is Almighty God. Most of us kind of get into Yahweh. We think about Exodus when Moses goes to Pharaoh, the greatest, strongest nation, and there's all those plagues. What are those plagues? They were plagues, a demonstration of the almighty power of Yahweh over every god of this great Egyptian culture. And these slaves were being shown the power of God that they could trust, that could deliver them. And so God is showing up and he's saying, look, this is Yahweh. I'm the almighty God. Nothing's impossible for me. I am the creator of all things. I have brought from no life to life, and I can definitely take from death to life. And he's saying, what I promise, Yahweh promises, Yahweh covenants to promise he will be faithful even when you're not faithful. Just as he promised his son to die and be raised from the dead, so that you and I who are dead to sin be made alive. It's impossible for us to do it. We have no good in us to create that, no ability in us to do it, but God does. And he does it for you, and he does it for me, he did it for the world. He did it for the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3:20, let's read together. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. God can do far more abundantly. He can do it exceedingly more than whatever you think, whatever ask, whatever you could ever imagine or ever dream. He's beyond that. Apostle Paul understood that. That his grace was beyond he ever thought or imagined. It was more powerful than he thought or imagined. And he saw God at work in more powerful ways than ever thought or imagined. Because Paul knew he was a wreck and a sinner. And he's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. There's nothing great in him. And yet God is building his church through the guy who was killing it. And so Paul corrects the people. And he says in 1 Corinthians, I planted the seed of Paul's word. But who? God has been making it grow. God has been doing this. God, the Yahweh, the Almighty God, the one who's made covenant, the one who's promised in his will to build his kingdom is doing that here amongst us, not us. I mean, you go back to Abraham and Sarah. They broke the covenant multiple times. See, the will of God is dependent on God. Not you. We're dead. We need God, the covenant God, to carry the burden of his promise. But somehow in our journey, whether it's the cause of our sin, maybe the sin that's made us feel the shame that we're not good enough, never will be, maybe it's just the human conditioning from other voices or experience in life that have said that, or the world that said you, the church, is nothing. You're a club. You're being marked. You're not. You don't have a voice. You don't have power. That we have come to agree to that. and we limit God. I mean, we even say this in churches. God doesn't do miracles. God doesn't do these things anymore. He doesn't appear. He doesn't call. He doesn't talk. He doesn't lead people into crazy things. I mean, God, it's just a love fest. It's just to feel good so you can ease your conscience. It's not about a life changing, not just one life. Who could think he could change a community, change a country, change a world? No way. I mean, just a few years ago, we were sitting there on a ride in this world of going to, just the darkness that was overcoming it. And the church just kind of sat quietly on the edge, like, what can we do? We'll just hope it gets better. And we just allowed the world to keep going down the slippery slope of greater sin, as it worked its way of attacking the most innocent part of our world, of the children. Hope is not a strategy. God says he can do abundantly more, exceed more than your hope and imagine. And how does he do that? By the power at work within us. That power, dynamos, dynamite, the power of God in creating from nothing to life is in us. The power that can push back darkness is in us, the church. The power that changes lives is in us, the church. Amen? Maybe the prayer the church needs to have is the prayer of the man who was struggling with his son, who was sick, and was running around trying to get healing, who was desperate and hopeless. And he comes into Jesus, hears about Jesus, and when he says, Jesus, if you can heal him. And Jesus says, as recorded in Mark 9:23, if you can, are you really asking me if I can do this? He says, all things are possible for the one who believes. And me, the father child, cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. That needs to be our prayer. God, I believe in you. I believe you saved me. But man, help my unbelief so it gets out of my head and gets in my heart and gets in my life and gets in my action. And I'm not just doing religious things for religious sake because I love you. But man, there's power in what I'm doing and when I'm with you. We got to stop being the victim. You have been bought with the greatest treasure. And that treasure is in you. It's Jesus. And here's the question I want to ask you today. I really want you to wrestle with. If God would ensure you wouldn't fail, what would you attempt? If God would ensure you would not fail, what would you attempt for his glory? See, when the power of God comes, we go from the laughter of this fear of Sarah into faith. And say, okay, everything's possible. Let me be that servant. What is your will? What would you do? I mean, Charlie Kirk at age 18 had a dream and idea and had no money, no power, no fame. But he thought he could change the world. And he called it Turning Point. And he thought he could do it with a generation that was the farthest from God. He was all caught up into the most secular part of our culture and world and influenced. And he went there. And he grew to a presence of 3,500 high schools and college campuses nationwide with over 250 students, members, and 450 full and part-time staff all across the country. And became the largest, fastest growing conservative youth activist organization in the country. I mean, even now, right, Turning Point has over 60,000 more inquiries and growing every day. I mean, if God could ensure, he could ensure you wouldn't fail, what would you attempt? I mean, what God dream would you pursue? Because you believed in him, you could do it. I know some of you say, well, I'm a little bit past that now. Well, do I need to remind you how old Abraham and Sarah were? There, we need to remind you with the prophet Joel and what they said in Acts 2:17, the last days, which we are in. When Jesus rose from the dead, we hit the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Do you dare to dream? Dream in faith. What God could do with the power in you. I mean, I dream of a day where God awakens this whole, the whole Gulf Coast with the Holy Ghost. Awakens to Jesus. The light of Jesus to have a multiplication movement that is sending people in every corner of this world to disband the darkness with the light of Christ. We want to grow and establish a training center that is supporting and equipping the church to be the church again. We're not just here to sell a worship service. We're here to make disciples. And disciples are ones who are sent with the power of God and the gospel to go where they live, work, and play. Everyone, everywhere, every day. Man, sharing the gospel where they're at, equipping and changing lives where they're at. And God is teaching us and showing us every way walked away. The team has been dreaming about it. I mean, this team of ours has been like cooking on this dream for so long, we can smell it cooking. The aroma is in the air. We're learning. We're leaning into what God could do. How about you? When we planted this church, we didn't have money, and we had a couple people, and one of the phrases that someone said is, you guys are kind of like the little train that can. Because you just keep on going saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I think we will. With God, you can. You can. Last response, C. Sodom and Gomorrah's heart rejected God and are set on evil. The Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave. That outcry does not refer to the fact that the people are crying out. It is those oppressed, mistreated, victimized by the city weaknesses that is crying out. It's inconsistent with the story of Cain and Abel as Abel's blood cries out from the ground. God is omniscient. He knows. He's not asleep. He's on his throne ruling all things, and he sees the sin, and the sin is great. It's severe, and it's gone beyond his patience. We see when God is a righteous God and he gives his judgment. We see it here. We see it in Tower of Babel. We see it in the ark, the flood. It goes beyond his patience. And God is coming to bring his judgment. And then he realizes, man, he says to us, he knows it, but he's bringing it into us along. I have chosen Abraham. And I'm going to bring him along so he may know me and my grace and my righteousness and my judgment. To inspect his sin before him. I think we got to remember that what we see in this world is not new. It's how sin has manifested itself in new ways, but it's still the same sin. It's different because of technology and culture and medicine, but it's the same old thing. Just like they did in Judges 21:25, it says everyone did was right in their own eyes. A godless culture that started attacking the church and attacked the church a long time ago on creation. And what they said is, oh, science proves that God didn't create the world. And they went on a deliberate attack because if you can take God out of creation, you can take God out of the whole Bible. You can make the whole thing fall. And the next generation, and so that was bought. And then people said, well, you know, the Bible and science can't contradict. And so we had theist evolution, which means like, yeah, they coincide somehow. They both have authority and value, and they coincide together, and you got to believe both. And then suddenly then that shifted even further to say, you know what? God didn't create. Science is right. And it just took God out and said, you should trust science. You should trust what man's wisdom is. And I'm going to go on a little edge here to say that. And that's how we get coronavirus. And science kills many around the world. And the science and a godless culture, where there is no God, is a vacuum. And we start to think we are God. And so a generation starts to determine how to create themselves, and science is there to help them destroy themselves and their bodies. Isaiah, God said, Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call an evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is the world's been doing to us. This is what we've been living in. And all results of saying, Proverbs 14:12 said, there is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in a way of death. Rejecting God is what happened in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. His rejection of God he served. Although Charlie died, he lives in heaven in paradise with endless love, joy, and peace, and no more harm, no more shame, no more pain, no more tears. But rejecting Jesus when he comes and appears is a death punishment, a condemnation of hell. If you think life here is hard, I mean, we can't imagine how great heaven is. And I don't think we can fully imagine how terrible hell is. We have no idea. But many people are being taught to go get a moment of fame and to live in eternity with a flame. Fame flame. But just as God included Abraham to intercede for the city, he also includes the church today. Number three, God calls us. Call is to pray and say. And while you might have anger in your heart when you first hear these things and go on, you might want to just get retaliation, retribution, or have suffering upon the others. Jesus says this in Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I mean, if anybody was wrongly persecuted, it was Jesus. Anybody was wrongly punished, it was Jesus. And yet when Jesus is being nailed to that cross, he looks at the guys, he's nailing his hands, and says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. There's a world that just doesn't know what it's doing. And what God calls us is to pray for them and love them and offer forgiveness as it was offered us while we were enemies of God, children of wrath, the Bible says, until we were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And pray for the awakening hearts. I mean, I believe there's a lot of Sauls that are going to become Pauls this generation. Because the further they were, man, the further they'll go for Jesus when the grace hits them. And God is showing up. Jesus is showing up in Muslim countries with dreams and changing hearts. And the church has always been built by the blood of martyrs. And Charlie's death will be redeemed and used by God as it already has, clearly, and will continue to do. So we pray. And we pray and we say, we need to finish your calling. Just as God has chose Abraham for his time and his place, God is choosing you, his church, in his time and his place. And the words of Paul in Acts 20:24 for us. However, I consider my life nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying of the good news of God's grace. All of us have the calling of the Great Commission and complete it. We're to testify. We're to make disciples all over the world. And somehow we've taken that great calling, that great challenge, and we made it. We just show up and we pray and we give. Somebody, we'll hire the church to do it. We'll just go build our life. Paul says, my life is meaningless. Whatever I accomplish is meaningless compared to the gospel. It's eternity. Whatever God's building. It's not about my personal accomplishment or possessions, because after I die anyway, what is it going to be remembered for? And what's going to happen to all that stuff anyway? It's just going to be divided or sold. So I think the Apostle Paul and Charlie Kirk, they give a great example of this. They ran the race. They ran the race, the task, the calling, to complete the great commission that God gave them. And here's the good news. It's not too late to start. It's not too late to start. And so I encourage you, let's start today. Don't let another day pass. The Lord's appearing. Listen. Man, if you want help, we're here. We want to help you hear and follow it and help you as much as we can. But it's time, church. It's time to be the servant and say, not my will. I'm not just tagging you on, God. It's your will. We're here and we're listening. Let's pray. God, you've been showing up and calling and people in your church. And Lord, our hearts are stubborn. I mean, we're no different than Abraham, Sarah. We probably laugh when you think you could use us. I mean, people knew our past and people knew what happened. And yet your Bible is littered with people with such broken, sinful pasts that you redeem for good. That's exactly what you want to use. That's exactly the things that you use, the foolish things in the world to break down the wise. Because it's never been about us. It's all about you. And so, Father, I pray that it be, that's what we do. We put you first and let it be less of us and more of you. That we truly follow you in these days and to your calling. So it is, Lord, and all the things that you have put on our heart and minds, God, we pray in a prayer that you taught us together. We lift up your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And if you're here today, and I want to say, if you're here today, if you never crossed that line of faith and say, yes, I believe, or here today, wonder if you'd be saved, the Bible just says simply believe. Let's just say yes to what God has showed you and revealed to you. And if you want to, he says you want to be saved, you believe and be baptized. After the service, we have two baptisms. And if you would like to be baptized, man, come on down. The water is good over there. And you're welcome to come down over there. And you're welcome to witness it. You're welcome to join in and praying and celebrating the new life God is doing. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Another way to say yes to the Lord is through our giving, our resources, to recognize His Lordship in our life over everything that we have and enjoy. And so each worship service, we do take an offering to invest in the work that God is doing here in this area through Hope on the Beach Church. So we invite you to join us. You have in your bulletin there an envelope that you can place your offering in. There are also instructions there on how you might give in other ways, online, at our website, and so on. So those are listed for you, or you can just place your offering in the envelope, and ushers will be by in just a minute to with buckets that you can place that in. We'd also invite you to complete your connection card, and you can put that in the buckets as they come by in a little bit. If you haven't filled out the front, give us some info about you so we know you're here, you're important to us. And on the back, you can share with us if you have made any kind of commitment today, if you have prayer requests, if you'd like to join in a ministry that we offer, if you'd like to connect with us in any way, you can communicate with us on the back of your connection card. So the card and the envelope can go in the bucket as they're passed among you in just a minute. We're so glad you've come to be with us. Just a couple of quick reminders before the offering, and that is that tomorrow night at 6:30 in our 98 campus, building up on 98, if you are interested in becoming a little deeper part of the family, would like to maybe know what membership in Hope looks like, we are going to have a class. There's only one class required, and we invite you to come meet with us tomorrow night at 6:30, and we'll discuss our roots and our ministry, our vision, And so we invite you to come and join us 6:30 tomorrow night. Also, tomorrow night at 7, we have a new ministry we're launching called Meditations with Christy. And this is an opportunity for you to join online. And we are praying for our kids. It's so important that families hold up their children to faith in Christ. And so that is available to you. Details are in your bulletin there. Other things happening this week are in your bulletin. And so I don't think you need me to read that to you. We have one other recognition this morning that our pastor is going to make. And that is that you become a member at Hope either by full membership in by agreeing to the Lutheran doctrine and the Missouri Synod, or you can be a partner with Hope in just joining our mission and our ministry and being a part of what we do. And so this morning we're going to recognize one of our newer partners. And Doug, where are you?
Right behind you.
Oh, go away, Doug. We don't. No, here. Come on up. This is Doug Hill.
Yeah.
And
so as partners, we asked you to make a covenant with us in a partnership. And here's what we come to be led to agree with. To protect the unity of my church that God has given us by acting towards love, stirring up missions and following leaders. To share in responsibility of our church as a partner by praying and growing a disciple and helping others. And then serve the ministry of our church, discovering your gifts, being equipped in your calling, developing a servant's heart, and supporting the testimony of the church by attending, living a godly life, and your giving. And so, Doug, I asked if you made this commitment to us, but you would make it to the church by saying yes with the help of God. Well, then, welcome to partnership, buddy. God bless you, man. Yeah.
Thanks for lowering the bar.
Yeah, we lowered the bar for you, but we gave you a mug so you can remember where the bar's at. All right.
Bless you, Dougie. Let's pray together, then our ushers will pass through you, not through you, around you. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the day we've enjoyed, for your presence being with us. And we ask you now to receive our offering. May these gifts bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's rise and worship. The song is on the back page. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Receive this blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. God bless. See you next week. We can use some help breaking down. If you would like to help, Will, raise your hand. He will be right there. He can help you out. We also have the baptisms over there. over there on the beach.